If you feel that it is hot in here tonight, you are not alone. Charles said one of the units is not working. I don't know if it was a lightning strike or what, but he will be calling the electrician. Hopefully by Wednesday night, it will be much, much, much cooler. On a personal note, this time next week, I think we will have my mother in Warm Springs. No, we won't. We will have her in Trinity Shores. I'm looking forward to it. Linda's looking forward to it. My mother still has some trepidation. But I know it's going to be the best thing for her. I was talking to one of the administrators, and she said it would just not surprise her at all if my mother just starts doing better and better and better and better and better. But please don't think that she still doesn't covet your visits, because she certainly does. But Trinity Shores is just a perfect place to visit. You can visit with her in her own apartment. You could visit with her in some of the other areas. So please continue to pray for her and think of her. Pray for me and my whole family in this. And I really believe the Lord is going to help us in all of this. Last Sunday morning, most of you were here last Sunday morning. We began what I call basic Christianity, Christianity 101. And we studied Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? This morning, we continued that basic Christianity when we talked about how Jesus loves the church. Tonight, I would like for us to continue looking at the basics of Christianity. And if you realize this, the parables that Jesus told, he told them because this was basic Christianity. So hopefully in the next few Sunday nights, maybe even more than a few Sunday nights, we're going to be looking at some of the parables. We're going to start tonight with one of the most familiar, maybe the most familiar of all, the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower. So while you're turning to Matthew chapter 13, let me say a few things. What Jesus did in the parables is he drew a mental image and then made his point from that mental image. The people of Judea or Galilee in the first century were very, very familiar with how a sower would broadcast the seeds and how it would be harvested and how it would grow. It would have been completely out of character had Jesus talked about cotton pickers and combines and 18-wheel tractors. That just was not in their mental image. But we also can remember when broadcasting seed was very, very common. So it was just a natural analogy. And really, that's what the parables are. They're just a story that everyone could relate to. And then Jesus would make the story special by making religious application. Now, when we study this, and we'll go into this a little bit more as we progress, when we study this, there's a few things that we have to understand. First of all, the seed of which Jesus speaks is the Word of God. The seed at some time in our lives was planted, it germinated, it grew, and we're Christians today. That's our desire for the world. We desire to broadcast the seed, have it germinate, have it grow, and they will be Christians just like we are. Now, the soil or the ground in this parable, four different soils are mentioned. And that doesn't represent different soils. It represents different hearts. And we know in our visit with other people, we know in our attempt to study with other people, some people are very receptive, but in the long run, it doesn't work out. Some are very reluctant. So we run into different hearts, different mindsets, and that's what this description is. But the soil is the heart of man. The seed is the Word of God. I hope if you wanted to turn, you're in Matthew chapter 13. Let me begin reading and we'll make a few comments as we go. On that same day, now this is the same day that Mary and Jesus' siblings came to the house and asked to meet with Jesus. That was in the previous chapter. So on that same day, Jesus went out of that house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered together to him, so that he got in a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on shore. Now, a physics professor would tell us this made a perfect speaker's area because sound travels so well over water. So Jesus is standing with the water behind him. He's speaking. They could be spread out and Jesus' voice could be heard. Then he spoke many things in them to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them," devoured the seeds. "Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, no depth of root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them," choked out the good harvest. "But others fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then in the verse 9, Jesus gives us this challenge. Brethren, if we have the ears, the capacity to know what Jesus is talking about, we need to listen to it. And not only listen to it, we need to apply it to our lives. Now, let's notice a few things. Right after Jesus gave this parable, the disciples come to him and ask him, "Why do you teach in parables?" This is his answer: "Because it has been given to you," that would be the disciples, "because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, that would be the multitudes, it has not been given." It was given to the disciples, the apostles, but not given to the multitude. And that's why we read in Acts chapter 2 that the early church continued in the apostles' doctrine. This is where they were teaching. So Jesus was preparing the disciples to broadcast this seed, and he gave them the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, brethren, there are no mysteries of the kingdom of heaven for us to worry about today. All of it has been revealed. The Spirit came and guided the disciples and inspired writers into all truth. It is at our disposal today. So we know all the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it was given in the first century, and it is given in the 21st century to everyone who truly desires to know God's word. Brethren, I believe this with all of my heart. If someone is looking for the truth, I don't know why I'm pointing my finger at you like that. If someone is looking for the truth, God is going to find a way to make sure they have it. I believe that with all of my heart. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom." That's Christians. "The spirit to use his word and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And of course, Jesus said in Matthew 13:16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So there is not some secret, undocumented group of truths out here that's just floating around. We've got it all. The faith, once and for all time, delivered unto us, the saints. Brethren, Jesus really wants us to know the truth. He really wants us to understand the truth. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 13:17, "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see," what we see, "and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now, let's also say a few more things, and then we'll get to this parable. Brethren, God does not want us to just take for granted the blessings that are given to us through Jesus Christ. He wants us to acknowledge the blessings. He wants us to voice our appreciation for those blessings. He certainly does not want us to take them for granted. I'm going to read this particular verse two times in the lesson. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And then the Hebrew penman says, otherwise, we're going to drift away. So we don't take the Word of God for granted. We don't take the inspiration of the Word of God for granted. Otherwise, we might drift away. Now, the parables are important. All of the parables are important. It would be good for us individually and even collectively to study each and every one of the parables. But some have more application for us today than others. This particular parable has a perfect application for us. We need to know this parable. We need to study this parable. It tells us not only how to receive God's word, the seed, but also to keep the seed growing in our hearts. So this parable also explains what it takes for God's people to truly plant God's word in our heart. And that's what we must do. Then we will be truly converted. I think many times we get the cart before the horse. We believe and therefore we're baptized even before we're converted. We need to understand that. Now, before we can truly appreciate this parable, I think it's good for us to define some of the terminology that Jesus uses. For instance, first of all, who is the sower? Brethren, believe it or not, there is some debate about who is the sower in this parable. Now, let me jump to a secondary application. In a certain extent, you and I are the sowers in this parable. Because as we even mentioned this morning, Jesus has no feet to carry the gospel, but our feet. So a secondary application is that you and I are the sower. But who is the primary sower? Some people say it's not Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. I know that's a fine line of demarcation, but I don't understand exactly how they say that. We believe that the sower is Jesus. I think universally we believe that the sower is Jesus. But there are some that believe that it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did inspire the New Testament writers. Yes, he did. The Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. Yes, he did. It is the truth that convicts the heart of man. It's the truth that converts us. But the Holy Spirit only inspired the writers according to what Jesus told him. The word that I have spoken, that's not the Holy Spirit's quote, that's Jesus's quote. That will be the judging criteria. So the primary sower is Jesus. Don't ever allow anyone to convince us otherwise. Now, what is the seed? There's no debate here because Jesus even tells us what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8, verse 11, Luke 8 is where the parallel of this story is. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Now, here's the real meat of this lesson. What is the ground? What is the soil? Well, again, there's no debate using Luke's account. Luke says the sower sowed seed and the birds came down and swooped it up because it had no depth of root. Luke 8, verse 12. Now, I want to mention something else that I know all of us know, but we need to mention it just in case. The seed was all the same. It all came from the same sack. It all was the word of God. The seed was exactly the same, but the exact same seed affected the different soils, the different hearts, differently. So let's look at soil. My grandfather Shannon, a lot of you knew my grandfather Shannon, was a farmer. A lot of the Shannons were farmers. I didn't know him very well. I was only about 11, I think, when he passed away. I didn't know until the last several years. My grandfather Jackson was also a farmer, but he passed away long before I was born, and none of his children, my dad or none of his brothers or sisters, were farmers. So the farmer that I had the most contact with was Travis Tanner. I know many of you remember Travis Tanner. He was a member of this congregation. Well, Travis had land out at Six Mile, and he also had land out at Green Lake. So ever so often, he would say, Shan, would you like to go with me to Green Lake? And I, naturally, I'm going to say yes. I said yes. So that 15-minute trip, he drove about 30 miles an hour, took us about an hour and a half. But when we got to the same farmland that he had inherited from his father, we would get out, and I would stand there with him. I would get out of the truck just like him. And every once in a while, I'd cut my eyes over him. He's gazing over the same farmland that he had looked at for all of his life. And most of the time, he would even reach down and take a little handful of that dirt. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? That's just dirt. I remember a couple of times he even smelled the dirt. The only thing I can think of years later is he was checking the moisture content to see if there was enough moisture to plant the seed. But anyway, different soil is different. He handled his 6-mile land completely different than he handled his Green Lake land. So different soil is different. First of all, in our parable, there is the wayside soil. Now, if you're a gardener, you know what the wayside soil is. You might have a row of vegetables and another row of vegetables and another row of vegetables, but how do you get to those vegetables? You walk down the rows, not the good dirt on the rows, but you walk between the rows. That's the wayside soil, and you're going to walk on it enough so that it beats it down, it pounds it down, it becomes hard, it's not cultivated anymore. It cannot grow seed anymore, and if you accidentally spill some seed on there, trust me, it will not grow. The birds will come and eat it up. It's just not going to grow. It's the path. It's not been properly cultivated, and without proper cultivation, it will not accept the seed. It represents a heart that's just not ready to accept the seed. Now, there could be 1,000 different reasons why the heart is not ready, but sometimes the heart is just not ready to accept the seed. Maybe their heart is still too careless. Maybe it's too casual. Maybe it's apathetic. Maybe it's unconcerned. Now, remember the same verse I read a moment ago, Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Therefore, we need to make sure that the influences that are in our life promote the cultivation of our heart and not get off and travel those hardened paths and not travel with people who are on those hardened paths. If we want to know the truth, we need to get where the truth is. It's in the rows. That's where the seed is planted. It's in the cultivated soil that has been softened so that the seed can grow. We don't need to go where it's all been trampled down because the birds will come and snatch it up. Then there is the stony ground. Before we use the obvious allusion, let me talk a moment about emotion. Brethren, emotion is a wonderful thing. I've preached long enough and know most of you, and I can see in your face emotion. I can see if you disagree with what I said. I can see if you agree. I can see if I hit your feet. I can see if I hit your heart. I can see that in your eyes. Emotion is a wonderful thing, but emotion needs to be tempered with wisdom. Because emotion, if it is out of control, is out of control. Therefore, there is a fine line between being emotional, which all of us need to be, and being over-emotional. It would probably or possibly surprise you how many adults have come to me over the years and say, I was at such and such youth camp. I was baptized at such and such youth camp. And they will say, actually, what happened was the preacher frightened me so much that I responded to the invitation. And now, maybe years later, they realize they weren't converted, they were frightened. Or maybe they were on an emotional high. Usually at camp, if one or two young people are baptized, 20 or 30 are usually baptized. But when that emotional high calms down, when that fear calms down, then they realize we weren't really converted. Brethren, there's conversion is pre-baptism. We have to be converted. We have to understand. We have to count the cost. We have to be biblical. We have to be logical. All of these things. So the stony soil needed to dig all those rocks, all of those influences out of their life. They needed to dig down so that they would be able to run their roots deep. In other words, they needed to know what they're doing. And then we also need to know what we're doing. We need to count the cost. Jesus told a story one time about a king that was going to go to war. And he said, the first thing you need to do is you need to count the cost. Do you have enough soldiers and armament to win the war? If not, you better go make a peace treaty. You need to count the cost. And he said, or if you're going to build a building, maybe you're going to build a tower, you need to sit down and count the cost. If you don't have enough money to finish building it, and it's half finished and you've run out of money, people are going to laugh at you. And that's exactly what it is. To become a Christian, we need to count the cost. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. We need to count the cost because the Lord knows our heart. So without a solid foundation, when persecution comes, like the sun comes up in the sky, once we start getting hot under the collar, then we're just going to fall away. And then there's the thorny soil. That's soil that has not been weeded. And so the seed sprouts and comes up with the thistles and with the weeds. And from what I understand, many times you can't pull the weeds. Trust me, I don't want to learn this. You can't pull it out because you're going to pull the good crop out with it. So what you need to do is let it go ahead and grow. But it's going to be stunted. It's not going to be what you're really looking for. In Luke's account, he goes ahead and tells us exactly what these are. These are the cares of the world. These are influences of our friends and others that are going to lead us away from Christ instead of to Christ. And it's going to choke us out as a Christian. Luke 8:14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to mature. He wants us to bring manyfold to him. So this is a total crop failure. It came up, but it was completely worthless. Now, aren't you glad Jesus didn't stop the parable right there? Because he also tells about the good soil, the good heart. Brethren, I hope all of you have some of these stories in your history. I remember a lady came when I was preaching in Houston, and she said, I'd like to study with you. I said, I really am glad that you want to study with me. We set up a time. She knew the plan of salvation is good or better than I did. And so at one point I said, what doth hinder thee from being baptized? And she said nothing. Her heart was ready. She had prepared that soil. It was fertile. It was prepared. The soil was ready. She had gotten rid of the things that were going to slow her down, and she had certainly got rid of the things that were going to stop her. Isaiah 51:7. Listen to me. You know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their results. And when a heart is receptive, and the seed is planted, it will bear fruit. Now, God has not gifted all of us the same. So someone might bring more souls to the Lord than someone else. And someone else might bring even more than both of you put together. But it doesn't matter. There's no competition here. We just want souls to be saved. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for that challenge. We've got the ears to hear. Let's hear what the message is. So let's use this as a basic of evangelism. Let's take the message. Let's take the seed. Let's take the word of God and at least broadcast it. Don't assume that no one is going to accept the word. I remember one time I was in a teaching deal with Ivan Stewart. Some of you have read his books, Go Ye Means Me. And he said he has had people say, I know when I walked up that driveway that they were just not going to be receptive. How did he know that? The devil had whispered it in his ear, is what Ivan Stewart said. Let's be confident. Let's be patient. But let's make sure we're always ready and doing the sowing of the seed. Perhaps tonight there's one or more who need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We'll get Barry to grab his songbook and make his way this way. If it is you, if for any reason you need to respond, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?